SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
We'll have to get into this Draymond Jordan Poole stuff get a little bit later on. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The Pistons, the players, the hustlers, the people of Boston, and everybody else in between. We're kicking this here at SiriusXM channel 159 on a Wicked Wednesday. Thanks to the Rage Reddit, Cam Stewart, for joining us. We cashed a couple of late-night tickets tonight with the Phoenix Suns on the money line. No, I had them plus 1.5 in-game when they were down by 5. I think it was 52-47 when I made the play. The Lakers were up. I figured that, whatever, the Lakers came out strong, that they would fade as the game went on. Was a close game in Vegas tonight. And we took the Dallas Stars plus 1.5. And I also told you it would go under 6. 2-1 final. 2-1 final. Been killing the preseason stuff. And tomorrow night, I believe it is tomorrow night, although I don't even know where my remote control is, so I'm not, I can't tell you definitively this game is tomorrow night. It is tomorrow night, I believe. It's tomorrow. Just a weird scheduling spot that the Oklahoma City Thunder played tonight and they're playing tomorrow again, but it's Adelaide tomorrow. They are the same Adelaide 36ers that that just beat the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. So if they beat the Suns, they can beat the Thunder, right? And the Thunder played tonight. So there's no point spreads right now. They're not doing overnight numbers for this. But we'll get into this. We got Ian Cameron kicking with us tonight. But Bano, you said last week you're not betting much NHL preseason, or you didn't at all yet when we asked you about it. We're starting to listen. The season's getting closer right now, and I've dialed it down. I'm sort of picking a gamer spot here or there to bet, but we've been doing very well. Have you started to bet the preseason yet?
Well, I haven't, but at the same time, it's important to point out, too, if you're going to bet the preseason the next few days, the teams are going to start putting their opening night rosters on the ice, you know, in these last couple of preseason games. So keep that in mind. You're not really going to get those bigger edges that you might have gotten earlier in the preseason where you got basically an AHL lineup versus a more experienced one that's going to resemble the regular
opposite
season.
Yeah, but Beto, we've been betting this preseason stuff, and that's where the money is to be made. When the team is starting all these guys and they're like minus 380 and stuff, and then you come in with the underdog, with the inferior team, the so-called inferior lineup, right? Because star players
but
aren't going to go all
the
out.
Hungry young kids wanting to prove themselves, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to go all out like star guys, even if they're playing in the preseason, or they'll go all out in the first period knowing, I'm only playing 12 minutes tonight, so I'll go hard for this, you know what I mean? Like, but they'll back off, and hockey's such a, there's not that much of a gap, Babano. Like I've said it before, like, there's the smallest gap, Babano, in my opinion, out of any sport from the minors to the pros in hockey. Like, AHL teams are good. Like, AHL teams are full of guys that can play in the NHL, but they don't have enough skill. So, like, basically everybody in the AHL is like a third or fourth liner in the NHL, right? But they're not, they're all really, really good. You know what I mean? Like, minor league baseball, there's a big jump to the big leagues. The G League, there's a massive jump to the NBA. College football, it's a big jump. Like, there's all these big jumps. Hockey, there's not that. It's the gap isn't as much. The Late Night Anger Management Class countdown to first pitch is on. Who's ready for some baseball playoffs? Let's do this thing. The bracket is set. The odds are set. We got Ian Cameron with us. We're going to get back to the football, but let's just get caught up to date right now. Game 1, San Diego and the Mets, Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 8:07 first pitch to be exact. Max Scherzer on the hill for the Mets, minus 142. Yu Darvish and the Friars right now are plus 120. The total is 6.5. The Toronto Blue Jays send Alex Manoa to the hill. And it's minus 148. The total is 7. Is it Alec or Alex? What did I say?
Alec.
It is. Yep. Alec Manoa. Yeah. There you go. With a K, too. At that, Babano. With a K. Alec Manoah. I was like, yeah, Alec, yeah, whatever. Yeah, Manoah's on the hill. Listen, he's a great pitcher. He's got a lot of confidence for a young dude and stuff. He's in tough against Luis Castillo, man. Because I think Castillo's going to out-duel him. To me, this game is going to be a pitcher's duel. The total is 7 right now. You're getting plus 126 with Castillo. Manoah, Alec with a K, is minus 148. The total is 7. We got to pick them in Philadelphia and St. Louis. This game, Wainwright and Wheeler, that's at 2 o'clock on Friday. And as it is right now, the money keeps on coming in on Cleveland right now. It's creeping up. It's up to minus 130. Bieber and McClanahan, the total is 6.5. So Jonathan Taylor's not going to be playing on Thursday night football. Russell Wilson's 9-2, 11 Thursday night football games. And if you're just joining us right now, and we'll get back into this with Babano a little bit later on, but the Colts are flying 2 time zones west. In the history of Thursday night football, road teams are 2-13 straight up and 2-12-1 against the spread on Thursday night football when they travel 2 time zones west. And I'll tell you what, the only team, the Green Bay Packers, did it twice. So in other words, no team in the NFL has ever won in this spot besides the Green Bay Packers, who did it twice. It's 2-12-1 against the spread. We'll get Babano's take on this. I don't know, I'm overthinking this game. My fear is Melvin Gordon fumbling. My fear is them winning by 3 and not 3.5. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. There's a... you can just feel it in the air here. You got playoff baseball, and there's a lot of tension in the air as far as the NFL is concerned because of our contest team. And you figure for a team that'd be 17-2-1, Babano, that would be more smooth sailing. But I guess that's what's made us what we are. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of tension, man, like with everybody, to get it right. You know what I'm saying? Get your pick right. Don't screw it up. And the thing is, I'm actually cooler. You figure I'd be vocal, but Ben, I'm actually cooler than others. I even liked a lot of picks. I got to be honest with you, but they've won, right? I'm like, I wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like this. Like last week, Ranieri took the Ravens, which I thought the Bills were going to win. But the thing is, it pushed. You and I talked about it. Remember, we even thought it would be a really close game, and it was. So I was like, well, whatever. It's going to end up pushing anyways. That's what I thought. I was like, the Bills will win by 3 and the Ravens will win by 3. So we got a 3.5. They added a 3.5 tomorrow for this football game. I want to move on to other games beside this one, but I'm not getting scared off. Cam doesn't like it. Cam likes the Colts here. I'm not going to get scared off. Yes, I don't like the fact that Javonte Williams isn't playing. Okay, he's a great player. He's a big part of that offense. But I also think this will open things up for Russ a bit to throw the football. And you saw the same thing I did, Babano. You see, man. They make nice plays. Judy gets open. Corlin Sutton, they have a nice chemistry. They make plays. It just fully has
Sutton props all day in this game.
Yeah.
I've been on Corlin Sutton props every Denver game. He has clearly been Russell Wilson's favorite target.
Oh, no, he definitely. You saw that right away in the first game against Seattle. But they can make plays. Melvin Gordon, as long as he can hang on to the freaking football. The guy's fumbled 4 times. He's lost 2 of them. One of them was returned for a score. Out of his last 12 fumbles, 3 of them are returned for scores. It's a problem, but let's talk more about the Colts here, guys. We talked about the issue of the Packers being the only team in NFL history ever to travel 2 time zones out west and win on a Thursday nighter. They're terrible on the road. Like, they got smoked. They got smoked early by Houston. They were lucky to come back and tie the football game against the lowly Texans. The Jags beat them 24-0. Last week, Babano, the final score wasn't like a real indicator. The Titans punched them in the mouth, bro. Right, like early. And, you know, Matt Ryan's throwing for yards, but they're all garbage yards. Pittman's not a true number one wide receiver. They don't have a number 2. They don't have a number 3. Their star running back, Jonathan Taylor, isn't playing. And, oh, yeah, their best defensive player, Darius Shaq Leonard, isn't playing, Babano. We could go on. I get it. We'd like it better if it was 2.5 or 3. I think they can win and cover this football game at 3.5 tomorrow.
Yeah, this is just the lesser of two evils. Am I loving Denver? No, but I prefer Denver than Indy, especially Indy on the road on a short week with a battered offensive line. Although that being said, Denver's offensive line hasn't been great this year either, which brings me to I think total sacks, whatever number, I think 4.5, might even be 5.5. I think that's still got a good chance to go over. You're going to see, I think, both of these offensive lines under some significant pressure. Both of them have struggled. And look, the Colts' pass rush hasn't been terrible. We know the Denver Broncos can certainly get a pass rush. If you can find individual sack props on certain players, I'm seeing Quiddy Pay plus 135, Bradley Chubb minus 120, Draymond Jones from Denver minus 135, just to record one sack. You might want to get in on some of those props. I don't think it's going to be very easy for either of these quarterbacks to find time down the field.
I'll tell you what, too. Last year, Russell Wilson didn't have the greatest year last year, right? But he did light up the Colts of all teams. He threw 4 touchdown passes, and Seattle beat the Colts 28-16. And he had a perfect game. He threw 4 touchdown passes. His quarterback rating was 153. He's 9-2. Straight up in his career on Thursday nights, Russell Wilson. He's enough. You got Russell Wilson versus Matt Ryan. Yes, Nate Hackett is somewhat of a problem, but this is a real home field. And look, Ben, their 2 wins came at home, right? Denver. They're going to struggle on the road, but the Mile High City, not to mention they're traveling into the West, into the altitude, Babano. On top of that, on a short week. Matt Ryan's old, bro. He's going to get beat up by the end of the game, man. He's not going to be able to breathe.
And Matt Ryan's one of those quarterbacks, too, and you've got to factor this into your handicap. The one thing about Russell Wilson when he gets sacked, he doesn't really have as many ball security issues. Matt Ryan gets sacked, that ball's coming out. Matt Ryan's really had a tough time when he gets hit and he gets sacked, and Denver's got a pass rush, and Indy's offensive line, the tackles for Indianapolis have been bad this year, and I can't believe that. I thought they would be a lot better. They haven't. If they don't protect on the edges and have to deal with Jones and Chubb from Denver, and they get to Matt Ryan, hit him, that ball comes out quite a bit whenever Matt Ryan gets hit. And that's a big problem right now, that whenever it seems Matt Ryan takes a big shot from the opposing pass rush, the ball's coming out. And if you're going to give Denver a short field, that's advantage Broncos.
I think Denver will rack up field goals. You know what this game will be, Babano? I said this the other night. I think it'll be the same type of game. Dallas-Washington this past week. It wasn't pretty, Dallas would, kick a bunch of field goals.
I'm thinking this could be Denver-San Francisco part 2 in that same stadium.
No.
Not that bad, huh?
Well, then you got to love the under, Babano, because that game they scored 21 points or something.
Yeah, I do like the under. I do. I don't know if it'll be that low scoring, but I think it's going to be tough for the offenses. I do.
Yeah, but the Colts defense is giving up points to everybody.
They are.
Points, but don't forget, too, their best player isn't playing, Babano, right? And Leonard.
Yeah.
He's got a concussion and a broken nose. Got 2 things wrong with
him. He'll be missed. I still think it stays under 42. And like I said, do I love the Broncos? I really don't love laying more than a field goal with them. But there's nothing that could get me to Indianapolis here. Nothing.
No, I know. I played the money line. Full disclosure, guys. I played the money line in real life. But I'm playing it in a contest because, quite frankly, there's not a ton of other games that I like more. Maybe I'm wrong about it.
Where's the receivers, too, Gabe, for Indy? Where are they other than Michael Pittman? What do they have? Campbell, I'm not enamored with. They're relying on this rookie out of Cincinnati, Alec Pierce. Dude. We're waiting for him to step up.
Sertan is going to shut them down, too. He's going to shut Pittman down, bro. He's going to have the advantage. Think about that, guys, too. They don't have Jonathan Taylor. Hines is a decent back. Okay, so there's going to be a million little dump-offs to Hines. There'll be a bunch of little plays like that. But Pittman isn't going to get open. Devontae Adams didn't get open last week on him. Basically. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to get open on this dude. And then what's... And like Babano said, I wish Gregory was playing, but still, they still have enough. That place is a really hard place to play in, too. It's loud as hell. It starts to shake. It's almost like the field is shaking. Ryan, I could just see a bunch of false start penalties and Ryan delay a game, Babano, and just him sort of stumbling and bumbling his way through this tomorrow.
That's definitely within the realm of possibility, because that's the one thing you're going to get from Denver, especially a primetime game at night. And we did kind of see that with the San Francisco game, Sunday Night Football in week two. You know, we saw a lot of false starts from the Niners in that game, where, especially in the second half when Denver was keeping that Niners offense at bay. So, and again, when you're talking about offensive line issues, I mean, it's really bad for Indy. I mean, you've got guards playing tackle, tackles playing guard positions. I mean, that offensive line's been mismatched all year. He hasn't found a combination that he can stick with one game to the next, and you've got to try to execute your signals and get the snap count right in that kind of loud environment at night. That's going to be a tough call, or a tough challenge, I should say, for Indy.
So the other game of battle that if I wasn't going to, and I was leaning with here, and it's Daniel Jones and the New York Giants. So I know you said you bet on the Giants every week, and you're just going to keep doing it because you're up so far. You're 3-1. They're 3-1 ATS on the season, so we'll hit this on the other side. We're up against it. Think about this game, London. So I brought it up earlier in the week, guys, when they said Daniel Jones. I've been around. I can read between the lines. When Dable goes, oh, I don't know, we'll see. And then Jones says, oh, I feel this and that. Jones talks too much to the media. So Jones said earlier today that he feels much better, that his ankle feels much better, and he's good to go, right? Without mobility, it's a problem, but they'll tape it up, they'll shoot it up, they'll do what they have to do. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's a big crowd. Welcome us back, even though we lost.
Hey, I'll give you something to cry about, you loser. You can't catch a football? Let's see if you can catch a rock.
All right, let's roll. Quick as 180 minutes in Sports Talk Radio. Show's flying by this evening. Ian Cameron kicking with us right now. We're talking NFL football. We'll talk baseball later. Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com will join us. We'll talk NBA basketball level 3 with Pete Annapolis from RDS Television, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. We'll kick it with us. Ian Cameron right now. Kay Babano. All right, Babano, let's keep this thing rolling right now. The New York football Giants, they're getting 8 points. So we set the table here. They're going to London. They've been road warriors. Are you riding the Giants plus the points again?
I probably will again. Look, there are concerns, of course, but when I look at Green Bay last week, that was not a great performance against New England, especially defensive side of the football. You know, Bailey Zappe, they're down to their third quarterback, and take nothing away from the kid, but he's making some plays late in the game to keep New England hanging around, and Green Bay's age-old problems reared their ugly head again, and that's the run defense. You know, Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris both ran the football very effectively for the Patriots throughout the game, start to finish. Green Bay really never did clamp down on the run. And don't look now, Saquon Barkley is showing glimpses of the Saquon Barkley we all envisioned he could be when the Giants first took him years ago in the draft. That's a problem for Green Bay. And if they don't shore that up, that's going to be a pathway for the New York Giants, even with some O-line concerns and the receiving core depleted. That's the pathway for the New York Giants to keep themselves within a single score in this football game, being able to run the football if Green Bay has those same run defense issues they showed last week against the Patriots. And keep in mind, this is a game in London, England. It's not a true home game for Green Bay, even though it'll be the team listed on the bottom. When you look at this matchup, and the Giants are great in the road underdog role. Before Brian Dable got here, even with the bad coaches they had, Joe Judge and McAdoo and Shermer, I mean, even then they were still covering numbers a lot of the time as dogs away from home. It's not a true road game, but a neutral game, but still, they're away from home. They're catching points. I could only look at the Giants here.
I really want to pull the trigger on the Giants. There's always something. We're only into week 5 now. There's always so many injuries. My deal is, so you got the Daniel Jones situation. I buy into Barkley being able to chew the clock up. I think the Packers are a really good football team. But I don't think the Packers care about blowing you out. I don't think they're built to blow you out right now. And My issue is the New York football Giants just don't have anybody to throw the football to. Kenny Golladay, doubtful. And even if he played, he would drop the ball. Kadarius Toney is questionable. Richie James is whatever. He's not even, you know what I mean? He's just a guy there that's there because everybody else is hurt, and he's even questionable. Shepard's out, obviously. Johnson's out. So, you know, it's seemingly what was started, you think a deep wide receiver core for the New York Giants is absolutely just decimated. But with all that being stated, we'll keep our eye on the injury situation throughout the week. Let's move on to Seattle and New Orleans. It was brought up earlier. Cam said that he wouldn't be surprised if Seattle got murdered this week by New Orleans. Are you willing to trust the Saints laying 5.5 here, Babano? Total 45.5.
No, I'm not. I'm personally not, but I don't know if this is the spot I'd be wanting to take Seattle either. Second straight on the road. And that defense for Seattle, say what you will about how great Geno Smith and Rashad Penny, DK Metcalf, how that offense looked against Detroit. Detroit's defense is really bad. That's number one. And number two, you know, doing that again against the Saints, it's going to be a lot more difficult for the Seahawks here in this game. I like the way Andy Dalton played, though, and I said that on Sunday with you. I thought he played great. You cannot put that loss on Andy Dalton. I thought he played a great football game. He did everything you could ask, you could have wanted. Put him in position, you know, to kick the field goal. He drove the team back every time Minnesota scored. He played a really good football game. And that Seattle defense still has issues. I don't like a side in this game, but I'm fully in agreement with that total going up. I could not believe it that total was, I think, 42 early in the week when I first saw it. And I said, that's just way too low. I get it. The Saints have had offensive issues, but look at Seattle. They're just an over team right now. They can score, and the defense is suspect. And sure enough, now that total, I think, is 46 the last I looked. So I agree with that move. It's the right move, in my opinion.
Yeah, 45.5 right now at FanDuel. And you got to believe that the Saints offense would come alive against the Seattle defense. The Buffalo Bills get Kenny Pickett in this football game. Bills are laying 14. It's hard to believe. If you're the Bills, too, you look at their season. They're 3-1 on the season. Guys, they've only played one home game, the Bills. Right? They opened up the season against the Los Angeles Rams. They went home. They played Tennessee. They went to Miami. They went to Baltimore. So they've only, out of their four games, they've only played at home once, which is kind of scary if you think about it, if you're rest of the league, right? And they have to go to KC next week, so that's another road game. So in other words, down the stretch, guys, the Bills are going to be staying in Buffalo a lot and trying to wrap, you know, try to get that home field advantage. We all remember what happened last year. If you don't, it was the first game of the year, and the Buffalo Bills were up 10-0 at the half. And they blew it. The Pittsburgh Steelers came back and ended up winning the football game. So I think that'll be something that'll be brought up by the Buffalo Bills. They're going to remember that, that, hey, you know, let's not take the pedal off the metal. They smoked Tennessee in the only home game, but man, I remember 41-7. What's your take on this? Is 14 too many points to lay? What are you doing with this game?
Yeah, to me, we've actually seen a little pattern develop with Buffalo. You know, even in the Rams, even in the Tennessee game, I mean, they only started to really whip Tennessee in the second half. You know, that game was somewhat close at halftime. Even same with the Rams game. Miami, after a rocky first half, Miami only got 7 points in the second half. And, of course, it was a complete flip in the second half last week against Baltimore. The point is, Buffalo's played their best football after halftime. So I like Pittsburgh a little bit. I just think this is a lot of points, but I'm starting to think more and more that Pittsburgh in the first half is probably a better bet than the full game. That maybe early in the game, they get the spark from Kenny Pickett, maybe some things in the playbook that can take the Bills by surprise a little bit. Then they make their adjustments. And look, the Bills' defense has clearly made their adjustments all year at halftime. What the defense has done in the second half of these football games this year has been very impressive. So I think it's a good spot for Pittsburgh. It's a lot of points to be left. And think about the games the Buffalo's played the last 2 weeks. Down to the wire, just exhausting, big game against Miami. Down to the wire in bad weather, exhausting game, big comeback, a lot of energy exerted against Baltimore last week. And now you got to come back home against Pittsburgh, and you still have some injuries on the defensive side of the ball. I could see this being a close game at halftime, and then maybe the Bills pull away. So I like Pittsburgh from a spot perspective, but I think if I'm going to bet them here, it's going to be more toward the first half.
Interesting. Bold. As we stated, we don't agree with all of our guest picks, but we're trying to give people different perspectives. And I'm not saying I don't disagree, but I'm not ready to bet against anything with the Buffalo Bills this week, but I respect the boldness of it. So listen, I want to get into college as well. So I'm not going to go game by game through the National Football League, but we got the Bears and the Vikings, Texans, Jags. The Dolphins and Jets is a game I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. It's down to 3 right now. Bucks are now laying 9. Detroit Lions getting 3.5. That's another interesting total of a battle at 45.5. If you want to talk about a total like with Seattle, like the Lions are giving up 35 points a game. And the total is 45.5 in this game. You got Tennessee and Washington. Interesting, guys. The Chargers are down to 2.5 right now against the Browns. The Niners are laying 6.5 to the Panthers now. One of the games of the week. Eagles, some cool late games. Eagles and Cards, 5.5. Cowboys getting 5.5 against the Rams. What do you like this week, Babano?
I don't know. Maybe it's because it's New England. They want to run the football a lot. Maybe it's because they could be down to Bailey Zappe at quarterback. And I think it is going to be Bailey Zappe. He's getting a lot of the practice reps. We're not going to see Mac Jones. I don't think we're going to see Brian Hoyer either. I think it's going to be Bailey Zappe. Maybe it's that and they run the football a lot is the explanation why that total's going down. That's the only thing I can think of, and I still don't understand why.
Zappe can throw. You saw him at Western Kentucky.
In a Detroit game under the total right now.
But Zappe can throw. You saw him at Western Kentucky. They'll throw the ball. I think they know they can throw the ball on Detroit. Everybody can.
They can run it on Detroit, too. They just ran it against Green Bay pretty well with Stevenson and Harris, that combination. We just saw what Penny did to that Detroit run defense. No, I think that total's going in the wrong direction. That's the bet I like in that one is the over 46 with the Pats and the Lions. Although I'm kind of tempted by Detroit. I just don't know if I want to take that team with that defense right now. But I am tempted to fade New England laying more than a field goal with a rookie quarterback. I will say that. And you just got to hope and pray the Detroit defense is at least able to make key stops, you know, at critical times. So I'm leaning Lions, but I like the over there in that game. I like Miami. Teddy Bridgewater, 24 and 8 ATS on the road as a starting quarterback. These are numbers that have been with him now for all the teams he's been with, Vikings, Saints, go on down the list. He's had extra time to prepare for this game. He knows he's the starter. He knows Tua's not going to play here. They played Thursday night, the extra time. And what, we're going to give the Jets now a ton of credit for stealing a game against Pittsburgh they didn't deserve, stealing a game against Cleveland they didn't deserve? That's a cheap price on the much better team. Lay it with the Dolphins.
Interesting. Yeah, like I said, I look forward to this game. Down to 3, you could argue that. Teddy Bridgewater is Teddy Covers. He has been. And as you stated that, too, about being on the road with Bano, Teddy Bridgewater, for whatever reason, like you just said, on the road, non-division games. He's like an ATS kingpin. That's another one of them. If you want to dig deeper, Teddy Bridgewater, he can ball. I don't think there's much of a drop-off, if any, really. It's the same thing between him and Tua, really. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Honey, I've got some bad news for you.
I know, Marge. I'm waiting for the new XFL season. Who will win this year's million-dollar game? Who?
Honey.
The X is for extreme.
There is no XFL this year. The league folded.
Who told you?
Last year's MVP. He sweeps up toenails at the beauty parlor.
To get hurt in game. That he goes down and Davis Webb comes in and they're just screwed. And I'm also very concerned that they don't have any wide receivers. Like, literally. Like, I can live with it when if there's one or two guys and whatever, this and that, but everybody's hurt. Like, they don't have any wide receivers at Giants, which concerns me. So you can see.
Davis, Sills, and Darius Slayton. That's about it.
I like David Darius Sills. Slayton. Yeah. I don't think Slayton's playing either. Slayton's not there. Is Slayton? Yeah, you're right. Slayton is.
Yeah, he's back. He's at least there. But you're right. Everybody else is either IR questionable or doubtful. Although Richie James, Wandale Robinson, Tony could play, but they're questionable. Galladay's out. Shepard's not coming back anytime soon. So you could be looking at Sills and Slayton, and you're hoping that James or Robinson, one of those guys, play as well.
You know what? Daniel Jones and Darius Slayton have a good chemistry, actually. But he was inactive. He was inactive. He's got one catch on the year. So that's what I'm saying. So I guess, like, I don't know. If by necessity, they're going to roll him out. Now, I don't mind Darius Slayton, actually. But it's a bad spot. But that eight, like I said, it's a lot of points. And like you said, Ben, the Giants have been good to us. You know what I mean? And it's almost more so a bet as much against the Packers. You see the way the Packers are playing. They just want to run the ball, hit a couple of big, you know, plays here and there, rely on their defense. Yet, when ultimately push comes to shove, I like the Denver Broncos better. I just do. That Lion game is interesting. The Sunday nighter. What about the Cowboys, Babano? Here's another one, sort of like the Giants. Forget about the contest, but if a team just keeps winning for you, you've got to accept it. And even if they lose, fine. But guys, I've said it. I said it in the video last week. The Dallas Cowboys, Babano, the last 21 regular season games, these guys have now covered 16 of them. They're on a 16-5 ATS run right now. And we see, dude, Cooper Rush can win and cover football games. He's 4-0 straight up and against the spread, Babano. And the Rams, you could argue, wow, the Rams are, you know, coming back off the loss and stuff. They can't protect Matthew Stafford. Stafford is immobile. The Dallas Cowboys have the best pass rush in the National Football League. They can get to Matthew Stafford. I can see the Rams winning the game, but by six is kind of a challenge, in my opinion, Babano. What's your take on this? To me, we got to keep riding the Pokes and Cooper Rush.
Well, the issue right now, too, is the matchup for the Rams. Well, first of all, they're off a loss. I'm sure you're going to get focused, but I don't think the matchup's great for them. It's certainly not great for their offensive line. You know, Andrew Whitworth's retirement. They've got the new left tackle. They've got both guards banged up.
Like I just said, yes, their defensive line. Yes.
Yeah, one of their guards banged up. They had the third string center starting for them against the Niners on Monday night. And now you've got to worry about DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. I mean, that's a tough ask coming up for this LA Rams team. And we saw what the Niners did to them. They pulverized Matt Stafford. They blew up the line of scrimmage. They couldn't run the football. Cam Akers did nothing. It's a troubling matchup for the Rams. Oh, and the Rams are laying 5.5. I could only take Dallas there, and I'll probably end up on Dallas.
I'll definitely be on Dallas. See, I don't mind losing a bet. I just can't lose my one pick in the contest if we're all given one pick. That's why I get stressed out about this. But I do like the Cowboys. I do like the Giants. As I stated, these teams have been money in the bank. You just got to keep riding them. Atlanta's another instance here where the Atlanta Falcons are the only team, guys, in the NFL that are perfect ATS. They're 4-0 against the spread, the Falcons. They're getting 9 points right now, Babano. Does it continue? Will the Falcons be 5-0 ATS?
This is one of those where it feels like don't bet against Tampa. Don't bet against Tampa. They're off 2 losses in a row. They're at home again. They want to kill somebody. And Atlanta might be the team that's the perfect fodder for them to kill. But at the same point in time, here we go again with some injuries for Tampa. Still don't have everybody back on offense. The defense suffered a couple injuries against Kansas City. Tom Brady now is missing practice today or held out for some finger or some kind of injury, they said today, as he missed practice. I don't know if it's that or if it's his marriage falling apart. Maybe he needed time to figure that out. I don't know. But anyway, he wasn't in practice today. I'm reading the tea leaves, and I'm saying to myself, things are not right with Tampa Bay right now. Things are just not right with this football team. They're not right on the field. They're not healthy. And I think there's crap going on off the field with Brady and maybe even with some of these other players. So
he's
the more I'm thinking about
Babano.
It as the week goes on, the more I'm thinking I might take Atlanta here.
Are you Captain Obvious? I get the feeling there's stuff going on. Yeah, he's getting divorced in one of the biggest divorces in the history of the world, Babano.
Of course. I'm wondering if that's the reason he wasn't at practice today, even though they made it sound like, oh, he's got a hand or a finger injury, they said on the report. But I'm not buying it.
Well, if you remember Babano, see, I remember everything. He said that he wouldn't be at practices on Wednesday this year. Remember they gave him Wednesdays off?
Oh, that's right. That is a good job remembering that, yes.
I know Fox are a bitch, Babano. I'm not going to disagree. Yeah, but the problem is, I don't think, Babano, that there's problems like in the room with the Bucks. Like, I don't think they're sitting there going, oh, you suck, and oh, this sucks, and you're a problem, and this is a problem. No, I think they've just had problems.
Yeah.
I mean, they were besieged with injuries.
The chemistry's not there right now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're besieged with injuries, dude. Chris Godwin didn't play. Then he comes back, he gets hurt. Mike Evans gets suspended. You know, like, the offense can't just get, it's just one of those frustrating things. But like you said, I get the feeling they're ready to, like, really take it out on somebody. Like, you know what I mean? Even though Atlanta...
That was my initial thought early in the week, was that this feels like Atlanta comes back down to earth and Tampa's ready to really, really destroy and annihilate an opponent after losing to Green Bay and Kansas City in back-to-back games. And highly publicized games against Rodgers and Mahomes back-to-back weeks. You think Brady wants to lose another one after those two losses? No, but I don't know. There's things just don't look the way I want them to for this Tampa Bay team. And they got to win by margin. And Atlanta, all they've done is, and that's another thing too, we just saw Atlanta down big against the Rams. They never quit. They came back in the fourth quarter, made that game interesting. Even if they're down 14 points here against Tampa Bay, we've seen Atlanta show no signs of quitting any game this year. So that's another thing you got to factor in.
Ian Cameron, a kicker. What is that going to be on? I'm not mad. Like, it's actually the funniest thing I've had today. Babano, just the way he said it. I got a feeling something's just going on with there. Like, something's going on with this team. I'm like, yeah, something's going on. The guy's in the most public divorce in the history of sports, essentially, this week. Yeah, I'd say something's going on. But we've talked about this. I don't know. Listen, Babano, you're not the only one. Rick Saratella is a guest with us from SI.com, NFL Draft Bible. He told me earlier in the year, he goes, I hear things about Tampa. I don't think they're going to be good. And, you know, this Brady stuff's a massive distraction. And all this, I think it's just injuries. I don't think they've had everyone on the field together at once. And another thing is, too, the Buccaneers aren't built to win in September, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, this thing is a process, right? They're going to build it up. And they also know they play in a crap-ass division. So it's not like Atlanta. You know, well, this is for first place, actually. You know what I mean? It's 2-2. You're right. It's for first place, yeah.
Kind of like Tom Brady all those years with New England, with Belichick, where they never played great in September and October.
It's about dialing it up.
They peaked in December.
Exactly. Win a division, dial it up, and you know what I mean? And it's not like Tampa have a definitive home field advantage anyways, Babano, so I don't think he even cares where it's like, oh, we need to play at Raymond James Stadium. We're unbeatable here. No, the weather's nice. The Rams went in there and beat you last year there. Right? So you don't have any advantage. Right, let's switch
gears. You know what I think gives Atlanta a puncher's chance to do in this game is the fact that for the first time this year, their offense really didn't do much and wasn't very good against Cleveland. But guess what? They still won the football game. The fact that they overcame their worst offensive performance of the season against the Browns and still won the football game, that's a positive for this team.
Yeah, the Falcons are weird, where the only talent they have is at the wide receiver position, and they don't use them, which is the weirdest thing ever, yet they're covering and they're 2-2. Like you said, they threw an interception.
Imagine if Drake London and Kyle Pitts were used 10 times more. Yeah, exactly.
Well, they threw one interception and they ran the ball 14 times in a row after, literally. After one interception, they were like, all right, Arthur Smith's like, don't forget though, Babano and everybody. Arthur Smith, where's he coming from? Tennessee, what did he do there? He gave the ball to Derrick Henry 40 times a game if he could. He wants to run the ball. Yeah. It's like he sees this and says, no, we can win football games by running the ball. But don't forget, they also lose Cordarrelle Patterson, which is pretty, you know, that hurts them a lot this week. Okay, so Michigan and Indiana.
Before we get off the NFL beat, I do want to say, lay it with Philadelphia.
It's better be good
as well. Lay it with Philadelphia. They're the best team going. Arizona can't cover a point spread at home. What is it now? How many in a row have they lost straight up in ATS at home? I've lost count. And Arizona, about as fraudulent as victory as you'll ever see against Carolina. Baker Mayfield said, hey, we don't want the game. I don't want to win this game. Here you go, Arizona. Take this game. That's why Arizona won last week. Reality check Sunday.
All right, you say the Eagles are going to go in there and roll them, huh?
Yep, I'll lay 5, 5.5. I think they win by 7+. No home field edge there.
They are, they are better on the road. They've been bad at home, but the thing is, but to their defense, there's always two sides to everything. To their defense, who did they play at home this year? The Arizona Cardinals. Week one, they played the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody's stopping the Chiefs. The Chiefs beat themselves against Indy that one week, and the Chiefs have been, like, killing everybody. So they dealt with the Chiefs, which was they weren't ready to deal with. Okay, fine. And they lost to the LA Rams at home. It's not like they're losing to everybody and anybody's. You know what I'm saying?
Why can't we put Philadelphia in that realm, in that category with a KC and a Rams? I think they're every bit as good as those teams.
We're going to find out, aren't we? Yeah. All right, you say yes. All right, so I said I was trying to get to college here, Babano, and like four times you reeled me back into the NFL. But all right, you said you like the Eagles, though. At least you get the pick there. So as I was saying, Michigan and Indiana, 9 a.m. Pacific. It's on Fox. It's the early morning game. It's 22.5 points. It's a 59.5. Tennessee and LSU, also an early game. ESPN, Tennessee Volunteers, -3 on the road, over under 65. TCU in Kansas. Wow. This is a cool game. We'll get Babano's take on the other side. Think about what you want to share, Babano. What do you want to go with here in your remaining minutes here with us? But Kansas are one of these teams. All they keep doing is winning and covering, and now we're getting 6.5. I get it. TCU blew Oklahoma out last week. Sets up for a nice spot for the Jayhawk. Rock chalk. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got an awesome weekend of football, but we've been so focused on the NFL. This is the best Saturday of college football that we've had yet. Every Saturday, it's sort of like, oh, that's a, you know, oh, yeah, this team and that game. This week, we got just games across the board, man. We got games across the board. Michigan and Indiana in the morning. Tennessee and LSU. TCU and Kansas is a crazy cool game. Utah and UCLA, Babano, off the hook. 3:30 Eastern time at the Rose Bowl. Utah, 3.5-point favorites. People didn't believe in UCLA last week. They smoked the Washington Huskies. USC hosts Washington State. BYU and Notre Dame in Las Vegas. The highly anticipated Texas A&M-Alabama game that's lost a lot of its luster. Great weekend of college football, Babano. What do you like this weekend out of these top 25 games?
Yeah, there are some good games, although I will say the idea that Michigan-Indiana is this great college football game is, I think, a big bunch of garbage, but I think Michigan's just going to kill them. I don't think Indiana's any good, but there are a lot of good games on this Saturday.
Well, it's
card.
Like Georgia versus Auburn, right? Georgia are laying 30. People are upset that game's on CBS instead of Tennessee and LSU because they're like, why are you putting Georgia on when they're 30-point favorites? But who do you like, Babano?
Yeah, I like Kansas. I like the over as well against TCU. I think it'll be high scoring. That TCU offense is really ripping it up. Kansas, I think, can match them. And I think Kansas offense will play better this week in that game. So I like that one in terms of the over in Kansas. I like James Madison. They've been, I think, undefeated ATS this year still. Laying 10-11 against Arkansas State on the road in that game. I like K-State against Iowa State. And you mentioned Tennessee-LSU. I think Tennessee's better than LSU. I really do. I mean, LSU did not impress me last week against Auburn. They made a lot of mistakes. They let a bad Auburn team hang around. I think Tennessee will go to, and remember, this is in a noon or an early start time, Tennessee-LSU. Very early, not a night game. Tennessee can go on the road and win that. I think they will.
Ian Cameron, follow him on Twitter at Babano. Thanks for the time, Babano. Late night anchor management class. We got Matt Snyder. We got Pete Annapolis. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.